All right. Before we move to our time of extended prayer, we're going to look briefly at a little something from the texts for this week that there just won't be space to put into the sermon, but it is part of the Word. So tonight, Mark 4, verses 33 and 34. Mark 4, 33 and 34. So this wraps up a sequence of parables that Jesus gives to his people. It says, "And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples." So, one of the sub-themes in the book of Mark is this concept of an inner group and an outer group. And when you think of inner group and outer group, it's this inner group and outer group is not like the kind of inner group and outer group that you might have experienced in middle school or in high school, where the inner group were popular kids. And, you know, if you weren't one of the popular kids, you just weren't in the inner group. You were stuck in the outer group. And the popular group, inner group, excluded the rest of the kids. Well, in this division of an inner group and an outer group, anyone who wants to be in the inner group is able to come in. But what is the inner group and the outer group here in Mark? The outer group are those who may come, and they might listen to Jesus when he speaks to the multitude. They may come to watch what's going on with this Jesus. It's like a popular show, and they want to see people get healed. Maybe they want to be healed, and they come. It's almost like they show up for an orchestra concert. But when the concert's over, they just return home. Mark 3, 32 through 34, they describe the inner group this way. It says, "A multitude was sitting around him," a multitude was sitting around Jesus, "and he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother.'" So the inner group in this context in Mark are those who hear Jesus speak, and then hearing him, they want to hear Jesus speak more. They have questions about it. They're drawn to him, and they go to him afterwards. And as they learn and understand what he's saying, they want to do what he says. So they're not just there to watch or to hear. They actually want to get plugged in with him. So it's as if they show up for the orchestra concert, just like the outer group. But after the concert, they go back backstage. They want to meet the conductor. And at the end, they join the orchestra. And now they're part of the orchestra. So, some observations. First of all, with this inner group and the outer group, the word is declared to both groups. The word goes out to them. Jesus declares the word publicly, and he does it freely. It's open. But he says it can't be freely understood. It's freely given, but it's not freely understood. One reason is that the full meaning is partially concealed by Jesus on purpose. He is delivering the word. He's doing it faithfully. But some of it, the understanding, is being concealed from people by God. Mark 4:11, he says, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside this outer group, all things come in parables." So that's one reason it can't be fully understood. Another reason it can't be fully understood is it's just the darkness of the human heart and the human mind. Romans 1:21 and 28, it says, "They knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Verse 28 says, "They did not like to retain God in their knowledge." They actually were given the understandings, but they just didn't like it, so they just pushed it out. So two responses of those who hear the word but don't fully understand it, this outer group. Two responses. The first response is they hear, and then they leave. They go home when it's over. These are the people who show up to hear Jesus preach, but at the end of the day, they go home. They do nothing with what they've heard. They just continue to live their lives as if they never heard it, living their lives apart from Jesus. The second response of those who hear the word but do not understand it, they argue against it. They disagree with Jesus, and they dislike him. So these would be the Pharisees, the scribes, and they respond when they hear it by disputing with Jesus. And ultimately, they're the ones who blindfold Jesus, and they slap him around, literally. They despise him. So both of these responses are rejections of the word. And so one application for us is when you try to bring the word to those who are part of the outer group, because there still is an outer group and an inner group. The inner group is still wide open. Anyone is welcome. But when you bring to the word to those who are in the outer group, maybe friends, maybe neighbors, maybe to someone who claims to follow Christ, but they're straying, do you expect that they will understand and receive the word? When you bring something from the word about morality, or something that the word says about religion, or something that the word says about life's purpose and the final judgment of all men, do you expect that they will receive it? Do you expect they'll even understand what you're talking about? Or do you expect they will need Jesus before they can possibly understand this? You still bring the word, but what are your expectations when you bring that word? If they hate Jesus, will they love his word? So that's something to think about. Now, we talked about these two responses. They just go home, or they reject Jesus, resist Jesus. But there's a third response to the word, and this is what makes up the inner group. Some who hear the word will want to understand it. The same word that's shrouded in parables goes out to the inner group and the outer group. But the inner group wants to know, wants to understand, what does he mean? They hear Jesus proclaim it, and then they go to Jesus and say, what do you mean by this? What does this have to do with me? And so they go to him, they gather around him, as you have pictured here in Mark 3 and Mark 4. And then when they're gathered around Jesus, when they go to him, and they say, what does this mean? He explains it to them. It's not concealed from all people. He explains it to the inner group. Mark 4:10. When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. This is not a closed group. Anyone from that crowd who saw the miracles, who heard the preaching at the seaside, anyone was welcome to show up at the after meeting and ask Jesus, what did you mean by that parable? What did the word mean? Jesus will explain it. Mark 4:33, it says, when they were alone, he explained all these things to his disciples. That's the way Jesus is. So, small takeaway for us. When you hear the word, when you read the word, you want to understand it. Or are we just showing up? And when you want to understand it more, you ask Jesus. Do you ask Jesus to explain the word to you? That's part of how it's supposed to work. And so in our lives, if you're wrestling with a tricky life decision, which way should I go? Should I move? Should I stay? Should I choose the left or the right? If you're wrestling with a tricky life decision, wondering how does the Bible apply? I remember this in the word. I remember this in the word. I'm not quite sure. How does it apply? Should I go talk to this person? Or is the word indicating no, not yet? Ask Jesus to give you understanding about the word and your situation. Ask the faithful teachers of the word that are gifts that Jesus has given to the church, Ephesians 4, to help. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you into all truth. He will.